Stand with me for the reading of the Word of God in Psalm 82. This is the inerrant Word of God. A psalm of Asaph. God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Selah. Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, like men, you shall die and fall like any prince. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations. You may be seated. So far, the reading of God's word, and may add his blessing to it. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open. We're going to look at several passages tonight on a social justice warrior. Your congregation of Christ, brothers, sisters in the Lord, the Washington State Supreme Court just handed down a decision this past Thursday against Baronell Stutzman, who's a Christian florist and who said, because of my Christian beliefs, I'm not going to participate in providing a floral arrangement for a couple who wanted to have a same-sex marriage. And the Washington State Supreme Court handed down a decision that she was wrong, and she is going to be facing, and she is facing right now, unprecedented fines for her decision to not comply. My brothers and sisters, what do the righteous do when the foundations of justice are being destroyed, turning to slime right in front of our eyes? I read an article this past week in World Magazine of how an 80-year-old pastor is a resident in the government state-sponsored a nursing home facility, and he just wanted to have a Bible study with any resident who wanted to come and learn about God's word, and he asked permission from the powers that be there at the government assisted living center that if he could use the all-purpose room for this Bible study, and they said absolutely not. So he thought, well, okay, I'll just invite the residents who want to have a Bible study. I'll just have them in my room. And we'll have just our own personal Bible study together. And the powers that be said, absolutely not. You do that, you're evicted. What do God's people do when the foundations are being destroyed? One more lesson, and there are many others worldwide in terms of Christians throughout the world who are persecuted at the hands of justices or the powers that be. Just one other interesting story recently in the news that there's a family who went online, and you can get a postage stamp with a photo on it, and you can get a photo on this postage stamp from the U.S. Postage Service, and they decided to go ahead and put a photo of their family at this St. Basil or Basil's Cathedral located in Moscow, Russia. And they wanted to put that photo on a postage stamp, but the U.S. Postage Service said, you may not do that because that's a religious building. What do God's people do when the foundations are being shaken in the language of Psalm 82? When the government is becoming godless insofar as it's hostile to religion. I appreciate the word of the Lord as it comes to us here in Psalm 82, the social justice warrior. That is Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the just judge who is judging the judges and the powers that be. And we first of all want to take a look together, if you have the outline in front of you, of those who are judged. You see that in verses 1 and 2. The judge, God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment. Who are the gods? We learn in the Bible, right, in the Ten Commandments, the first commandment, you shall worship the Lord your God. Him only shall you serve. I am the Lord your God. You shall know the gods before me. Are there other gods? Who are these gods? Are they human judges or are they demons or fallen angels? Dear friends, these are human judges. And it's a good translation here. Other translations actually paraphrase it, but it's a good translation. In the midst of the gods, God, capital G-O-D, is judging those judges, those human judges. And we see that, for instance, in Exodus chapter 21, verse 6. If you turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus 21, as we compare Scripture with Scripture to identify these gods, Exodus 21 at verse 6, page 123. And we see here case laws applying the Ten Commandments to specific situations when it came to indentured slavery or servitude. Exodus 21, you pick it up at verse 5. But if the slave plainly says, "I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free," then his master shall bring him to God, and he shall bring him to the door of the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall be his slave forever. And the understanding there is that more than likely in the worship center, the sanctuary of worship of the living God, the judges of Israel would set up shop, and they would speak on behalf of God. And what they said, God said, when it came to giving justice, doing what is right, promoting what is right, and punishing what is wrong, giving someone their due, whether it is protection or whether it's punishment. And the real clincher is how Jesus understands this. Jesus understands these, quote, gods as human judges. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 10. At verse 34. John, the gospel according to John chapter 10, at verse 34. Page 1532. Page 1532. John chapter 10, Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And maybe just picking up at verse 31, John 10, verse 31. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me?" The Jews answered him, "It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and Scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming, because I said, I am the Son of God'?" Jesus Christ is saying, look, if I'm just identifying myself as the Son of God, David here in Psalm 82, or Asaph right here in Psalm 82, is actually referring to human judges as gods. So that's actually even more extreme or radical than what I'm identifying myself as the Son of God. Jesus takes these quote-unquote gods here in Psalm 82 as human judges, because he's referring to these leaders as judging and making judgments about him. God is appointing here, according to Psalm 82, judges or human beings to judge justly. So how long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? You are to give justice to the weak and to the fatherless. God is the one who appoints authorities, and God is the one who limits those authorities. God appoints the authorities. Romans chapter 13 describes this and defines this for us as well. And it is God himself who limits these authorities. So God ordains the authorities that be in order to punish wrongdoers and reward and protect the good and the righteous. Martin Luther, in his commentary on Psalm 82, speaks of the fact that judges must judge justly, in order that the word of the Lord may be taught, so that parents may teach their children, and the Church of Jesus Christ may teach its members, and the members of society, as well as the members of the Church of Jesus Christ, the gospel. Without these just judgments, the gospel of Jesus Christ will not go forward. This is important. We are to pray for our justices, judges on a national, state, and local level, to do what God has appointed and have them recognize their limitations as well. Those are the judged, these so-called human judges who are judging unjustly and showing partiality, playing favorites for the wicked. But what is the judgment God hands down? Well, here's the judgment in verses 3 and following. Give justice to the weak and to the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. Judges are to do really two jobs. What are the jobs of the judges of the land? They are to do two jobs. They are to promote justice, and they are to defend citizens from enemies. They are to defend the citizens of this land from the enemies outside of the land who are attacking, or enemies within the country itself who are sabotaging justice. And what do? When the foundations crumble and are collapsing around us, when the enforcers of the law in the United States of America and the law of God in the Bible are sabotaging that very law, they're failing at their two primary jobs and responsibilities. And the only sin, as it were, in America is what? Intolerance or inequality. Is inequality necessarily? Yeah. We want fairness, we want righteousness, we want justice, don't get me wrong. Dear friends, we want justice under law and under the lawgiver, the Lord God Himself. John Calvin said in his commentary on Psalm 82, and he says, you know, just like we have compassion upon sick people, we want them to get their medicine that they need to be healthy again. What would be wrong with us? We'd be insane, right? Basically, if we withheld medicine from someone who is sick, or we withheld a doctor from those who are patients in the hospital who are diagnosed with illness. Just as it would be just, right, for a sick person in a hospital to get the medicine that they need. A culture and a society needs justice. It needs fairness. And John Calvin also said in that commentary, it struck me, and I'm not minimizing this at all. We see the floods in our nation. That's bad, right? It's bad. It's difficult. It's a challenge for many, many people. We see droughts in our society as well and in our country, and that's very difficult. It poses a lot of challenges for people. What's worse than a famine? What's worse than a flood? Injustice, according to John Calvin. And he's right, according in the light of Psalm 82, give justice to the weak and to the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted. God is constantly in the Bible taking the side of those who are the marginalized, right? The weak and the poor, the orphan and the widow. The consequences of injustice here are laid out for us. See if you can see how this is happening in America today. Verse 5, here's the consequences for injustice. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. So here the consequences of injustice are ignorance, ineffectiveness, and insecurity. First of all, ignorance. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They don't even know that the foundations of their culture or country are collapsing right underneath them. They don't even know. And it's even worse, even if they would know, they don't even know how to solve it. Ignorance. But then there's ineffectiveness. They walk about in darkness. It's like they have a blindfold on. Their policies that they come up with to try to, you know, correct injustices and to try to go off and be social justice warriors without what? Without the Holy Scriptures, right? Without the Scriptures as the standard and the compass for it. They're just stumbling about in darkness, and their policies will be ineffective to turn it around. And then there's insecurity. The foundations of the earth are shaken. What do the righteous do when the foundations of the family, of the marriages, of a country, of churches of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ are busy collapsing and crumbling underneath them? What shall the righteous do? Well, the righteous look up. That's what Asaph is telling us to do in song and in prayer. We look up to the Lord who has throne control. God has taken his place in the divine council. He's right there in the chambers of the Supreme Court in the state of Washington or in Washington, D.C., or any other chambers of a judge. He's right there scrutinizing every decision. And every idle word, as we confessed early in the Belgian Confession, he will evaluate and will judge with perfect justice. Judges are only human, and they're going to die one day. In time, they'll die. They have neither knowledge. The foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods. You know, you're treated as gods, like as important people in society, and certainly justices and judges are ordained by God. But you are only sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, like men, you shall die and fall like any prince. Don't get cocky. Don't get a big head. Realize your mortality and that you as judges will be judged with a just judgment. Dear friends, we are to pray for our judges in this land and this world, but we are also to address the judges and the legislators and the executive as well as the state and local branches of government, the executive, legislative, and the judicial branches of government. We are to do that as Christians, and we are to do that as a federation of churches. And we have done that as the United Reformed Churches in North America. We did that. We made a decision at Synod 2016, Wyoming, Michigan, and we made a decision to go ahead and send this letter to the President of the United States of America. I'm just going to quote some of it here. Therefore, it's resolved that we, the URC, North America, in the name of the one and only true and living God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the ultimate King, Governor, and Judge, and Savior of all nations, as revealed in the 66 books of the Bible, of the Scriptures consisting of the Old and New Testaments, do call upon all state and federal legislators, governors, Congress, judges, courts, and the President of the United States to repent, repeal, overturn, and cease any legalizing of same-sex marriage or any related policies which would infringe upon our Christian conscience to obey the Word of God. And it goes on to say, we're sinners too. We need the mercy of Jesus Christ as well. We have failed. We have embraced worldliness. We have not upheld marriage vows as we should. We have morally compromised ourselves. But we seek to provide a clear witness to our Lord. And we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit, for all people, including our governing authorities, to experience repentance, the forgiveness of sin, and a delight in walking with our God in the beauty of holiness. I thank God. I'm a pastor of that kind of federation. I thank the Lord that I pastor a congregation in a federation of churches that speaks to the judges, that speaks to the leaders of the land that we love and pray for. God sends justice. Arise, O God, judge the earth, Asaph sings along with God's people and prays along with the children of Zion. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations. And Jesus Christ, the greatest social justice warrior of all, has come to do just that. When he faced off with Pontius Pilate, Jesus Christ comes to do what? He comes to take the side, to identify with the poor and with the helpless, with the citizens who are treated with injustice. And he suffers injustice, doesn't he? At the hands of Pontius Pilate, an authority ordained by God. Why? To justify sinners, to justify the ungodly. Jesus Christ suffered injustice. He was a God who was judged. He went on trial right before Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate was reminded by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ reminded Pontius Pilate, look, you would have no authority unless it was given from heaven. And Pontius Pilate caved in. He caved in. He knew better, but he still charged Jesus to be crucified. He knew better, but he caved in to the political pressures. And this judge rendered an unjust judgment. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ went on from there to be tortured, to be lynched, to be stripped, right? From the only earthly possession he had, his clothes, and suffers. Stripped naked on the cross. Why? To forgive you, to forgive me of our injustice, our prejudice, our biases, our failure to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, and to mistreat those who are the poor and the disadvantaged among us. Dear friends, a look at the Lord Jesus Christ, the judge of all the earth, suffering injustice on the cross. You know what? That's the only thing that's going to knock injustice out of my heart. And it's the only thing that's going to knock injustice out of yours, too. The God in Jesus Christ treats us with a gracious verdict of mercy. So with that in mind, when Jesus Christ sends his Holy Spirit in us, as we receive the gospel, Jesus Christ by his Spirit turns our unjust hearts into just hearts. So what does that mean for our lives, dear friends? We certainly know that it means to pray for, to directly address the judges and leaders of the land, to speak boldly, to face... the powerful, and speak up for those who don't have a voice, to speak up for themselves. And that's certainly the case for the plight of the unborn in our nation, dear friends. They need a voice. You say, Pastor, you preached on this so many times, I can't count them out. I'm going to keep on preaching. I'm going to keep on preaching, dear friends. This is how we need to apply the justice of the Word of God to the situation of the unborn. And to be a voice for the voiceless in our society, we need to be saying to our fellow citizens and to be praying this way for the Holy Spirit to come and open hearts to understand that just as we said slavery is unjust, and it will not be tolerated in the United States of America in the same way we will not tolerate in the United States of America the murder of the unborn, because the same logic, the same reasoning applies. Slaveholders couldn't say, "My slave is my property, you may not touch." The government said, "No, they're not your property." So the same thing goes for women who say, "My body is my property." That child is not your property. That child is made in the image of God and must be protected and given life and given liberty in the pursuit of justice. Dear friends, we are called to help the poor and the needy. It's proof of our faith in Jesus Christ. It's real. Our faith in Jesus Christ is real. James chapter 2 talks about this. Don't just talk about your faith. Show it. Walk out your faith. Walk your talk as Christians. So how do we do that specifically and practically? We help the poor and the needy. And we do so that maybe that means just taking a risk on someone. You know their history, you know their reputation, you know all about how they've been in this job and that job, they can't keep a job, and they don't really know how to work, and you say as an employer, I'm going to take a risk here. And God is calling me perhaps to take this person on and try to lead them out of poverty into responsibility. Out of poverty and into responsibility, and share and show with them a biblical work ethic. That's one practical way we can be people who identify with the poor. Jesus Christ, the rich, identified with the poor at the cross to enrich them. And as God has enriched many of us with fathers who taught us how to work, with parents who demonstrated a good work ethic, some of the poor and the needy around us. Some, I'm not saying all, I'm saying some may not have had that privilege and that gift from God. And God may be calling us to do so in their lives. God defends the fatherless and the widow. So, dear friends, it means that we are showing mercy to the immigrant, we show mercy to the homeless, we show mercy to those who are imprisoned, and we go and visit them, to the nursing homes and the hospitals, and we visit those who are falling through the cracks, the mentally ill and mental health units and care facilities, and we go in the name of Jesus Christ, showing and sharing the mercy that Jesus Christ has shown to us. But it also means specifically then to hate injustice and act for justice, to hate injustice and to act for justice. Our injustice, dear friends, hides the beauty of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means faith and favoritism doesn't mix. Faith and favoritism does not mesh. You ever feel entitled? I do. Do you ever feel when you're around certain people that well, you're just a little bit better than they are? We all do. You know, we spend so much time pulling ourselves up, right? And when we're up, we can put others down and put them in their place and look down on others who don't have what we have, drive what we drive, dress as we dress. Dear friends, we need to do away with bias and racism and prejudice, whether that's ethnic or financial. We need to do away with that. We need to repent of those sins And realize that whether we're rich or poor, whether we're Americans or not, whether we're citizens or homeless immigrants, whatever it is, ultimately we are all on the same level. We are all sinners. And the only difference between us and anyone else would be the amazing sovereign grace of God in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or there would be no difference at all. That puts us all on the same level. So what that means, practically speaking, is that you and I have to get out of our comfort zone and out of our circle of friends. Get out of that circle of friends and just family, right? It's all good gifts we enjoy, but get out of those circles where you feel very, very comfortable and cozy, unafraid, you know, these are my people, and step out of that. And then you go beyond your peer group or friend group or, you know, what is a racial group or economic group, the inner ring. We get out of that and we just very simply tonight, give someone a warm smile. Look someone in the eye. Offer a handshake. Ask a loving question. Thank them for a job well done. Hate injustice. Hate favoritism. And act for justice. And dear friends, there's also a practical application here too, that we are to base our judgment calls. In one sense or another, we're all leaders who are making judgment calls all the time. And Jesus Christ repeats this by his Spirit. Not just once, one time it happens in the Bible in Deuteronomy, in Matthew 18 it happens, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, and in 1 Timothy chapter 5, God is saying when you make a judgment call, you base that on the evidence of two or three witnesses. Don't go by hearsay. Don't go by gossip. You are to verify and you are to confirm the truth of a report. This is what it means for us to do justice, to love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. The justice of God is our solid comfort and always our unwavering hope. God, that's not just a three-letter word. God is not just, you know, cosmic jello. God is a God of passionate justice. He hates injustice, and he loves justice. People getting their due. And that's very, very comforting, dear friends. Because as I heard in a message just a little while ago, why is that comforting? It's comforting because, you know, as gospel, I mean grace, God's word, don't get me wrong here, I'm not creeping away from the mission of Jesus Christ and him crucified, please understand that, but as gospel social justice warriors, okay, just being brave, a little more courageous than we usually are, at least I am, it means... dear friends, that we don't have to get burnt out. We do, don't we? There's so many wrongs. There's so much injustice in the world. I don't have to get burnt out. You don't either. Because Jesus Christ is the just judge. And he will judge the earth, the living and the dead, without playing any favorites. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit the nations. That is the one single foundation on which we may stand, that stable and solid when the foundations are collapsing. Amen. Let's pray.